All right, so last week we talked a little bit about why Jesus came and Jesus' birth, kind of. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 3 if you want to follow along. It's the first book in the New Testament. It's kind of hard to find because it's like the New Testament starts kind of in the middle. But anyway, there's a table of contents here. Yeah, so it's on page 533. There you go. All right, tonight we're going to kind of skip ahead, just like most of the gospel accounts. They kind of skip over when Jesus is a kid. There's one story about when Jesus is a kid, but we're going to kind of skip over that and go to when Jesus is beginning his ministry. In January is kind of a good time to start new things. Has anybody started any new things this year? Got a new thing? What's the new thing?
Being more quieter.
Oh, really? How's that working out for you?
being alone by myself.
Yeah, okay. Anybody else? Somebody start? Dakota?
To myself.
Those are not really hobbies or much as, or, I guess, what are you?
Crocheting again.
Crocheting. Now, there you go. That's a good thing to start. Right. Shh. Well, that's chapter one. You need to find chapter three. Yeah. Look. It's next one. This is one. This is two. Next page. There's three. So we're going to be right in here. That's all right. All right. So anyway, so this is Jesus starting his public ministry. So so he grew up. He was your age and your age and your age and grew up and to be a little bit older. And then we think he's probably... Maybe almost in his 30s or so at this point, or close to it. And so up until this time, he really hadn't like done any miracles, really, or preached to too many people that we know of. Maybe he did do some of that, and it's just not recorded. But at this point, something very significant happens, and everything changes and begins. So he sort of begins his mission, I guess you might say. For why Jesus came at all. So there's two very important things we're going to talk about tonight. So this is the first one. And Matthew talks a lot about this guy named John the Baptist for a little while. Anybody heard about him? They call him John the Baptist because he baptized people. So who can tell me what baptism is? What is it? What does it look like? What does baptism look like? Yes, Isaac. What does it look like when that happens?
So they put someone in water.
Okay, so right, somebody's putting somebody in water. They leave them down in there?
Yes.
Let them drown. That's something else. That's called drowning, right? We don't do that. They bring them up again, don't they? Right. Now, some churches do it a little bit differently, but in the Bible times, that's how they did it. They would take you down, and then bring you back up. Yep. Why don't you wait just a minute? You're big. You can wait. Just a couple of minutes. So, he was baptizing people, and he was, people came to him and they repented of their sins, then he would baptize them. And so it's kind of an interesting thing, but he was looking forward to a very important event happening. And that event was just about to come. He was waiting for a particular person to come by. And he was waiting for Jesus. So then we get to this verse 13 here. He says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River, to John to be baptized by him. But John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' John said, 'I've been waiting this whole time. You should probably baptize me, Jesus. You're holier than I am. I'm just a regular man, but you're the Son of God.'" And he said, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, this is the right thing for us to do. It's right for you to baptize me because this is part of what God wants me to do. So John does it. So then it says, then he consented. That means he agreed to do it. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So after the baptism's over, you got Jesus standing there, and then this the Spirit of God comes down sort of like a dove, he says. I don't know, like maybe look like a dove or something, but it was the Holy Spirit. And then a voice from heaven, which was God the Father. So you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all together in the same place here. So that's pretty interesting that happened. And God says, this is my Son, and I'm pleased with him. He's doing the right things. And he is pleasing me. He is doing what I want him to do. And so today, what Christians do, if Christians become followers of Jesus, one of the very first things they want to do is be baptized. Because that is literally following Jesus. That's doing exactly what Jesus did. Sort of, so when you're baptized, people will say, oh, that's what Jesus did. So they're doing the same thing. So that means they must be followers of Jesus. There's a little bit of confusion about baptism. Some people think that baptism is some kind of magical thing that takes away your sins. But no, Jesus is the one that takes away your sins. But people are baptized to identify with Jesus, to show people that they have been saved. And that's how you can become a member of our church, too. If you want to be a member of our church, you have to be saved, then you have to be baptized. And that shows everybody that, yes, I have been saved, I am following Jesus, and then we can be in fellowship together as believers. So that's what he did. He was baptized. We didn't get to the slide for that. I got a whole slide about that. How did Jesus begin his ministry? All right, next one. Baptism. See, look at that. There it is. Water evoking the idea. Man, she's asleep at the wheel up there. But now, don't worry, I got some more slides. Now, something very, very interesting happens. You would think at the beginning of his ministry, what do you think he would do next? It would be, if you're starting this big mission for God, like a big ministry to people, what would you do?
Pray,
maybe? All right. Actually, that is kind of one of the things he maybe does. What else? Oh, well, yeah, okay, maybe so. He had been studying the scriptures his whole life. Strangely enough, that may come up in a minute. You think he might like go out and preach to some people or something? But actually, something really weird kind of happens at the beginning. What happens is he goes out to the desert for 40 days, and he does. He prays, and he fasts. Anybody know what fasting is? Right, not eating for a certain period of time. Usually it's like a day or a couple of days, maybe like a week, but that'd be a long time. But 40 days, that's an incredibly long time. There's probably, maybe people would be really hard-pressed to do that. But anyway, so that's what he did. What he's doing is he's preparing. It's like he seems to think that's going to help to prepare him in some way for this mission. But even stranger, maybe he's preparing for this moment too. What happens next is that the devil comes to him and tries to tempt him. So I don't know if, does everybody know what temptation is?
Yeah.
What is temptation?
Basically, distracting him.
A little bit. It's sort of like a distraction.
It's kind of like when strangers try and kidnap you and they're trying to do something that you want so that you come.
That's one definition. One good idea. Sort of like if your mom cooks some cookies or something, makes some cookies and says, now, these are for later. These are not for right now. And then sets them out and then goes away. Maybe she goes somewhere. And then they're sitting there and, man, they smell good and they look good. And you just want to take one right now and not wait till later, like she said. That's temptation. You all probably know what that feels like, right? Man, I really want to do this. They said I shouldn't do this. I'm not allowed to do this, but man, do I want to do it. That's temptation. Well, that's what Jesus is about to experience here. But our temptations are kind of like, it's, you know, our own self is trying to talk us into it. Or maybe, you know, maybe some like older, you know, teenager-y person or something, or maybe one of some of your friends or something. Or this is the devil himself. This is Satan tempting Jesus. Nobody's better at tempting people than Satan. And here he is in person to try to do the best thing. Now, and that's what he's going to face here. All right, so you can go ahead and put the first one up here. All right, so temptation number one. There's going to be three temptations. That's interesting. Yeah, what does that have to do with temptation? That doesn't seem very tempting, does it? All right, here's what it is. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So the Spirit of God leads him there. So it's not an accident that he's being tempted. This is all part of the plan. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, remember that means not eating. And if you're out in the desert, it's not like he didn't take like a little cot to sleep on or something. This is roughing it. This is like camping without any of the equipment or food. Not very fun. There he was. He was praying and fasting. And says, then the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. You know, you're hungry and you're the Son of God. You're supposed to be so powerful. Turn these stones into bread. I bet you could create some very delicious bread, Jesus. Right. Jesus probably could do that. Shh. Well, if you're hungry, you eat about anything. But but here's what Jesus says. He answered him, it is written in the Bible, in the scriptures, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now you might think, well, what would be wrong with him making some bread? Well, what do you think would be wrong with it? Yeah, if you'll notice, most all the miracles that Jesus does, he doesn't really do them for himself. He does them for other people. That's really what miracles are for. And so it's not for him to just use his power to satisfy his own hunger or his own needs. It's for other people. And it's not just for him to do whatever he wants to with it, but it's to do what God wants him to do. So he has this higher calling. And so this is sort of like the devil saying, yeah, but there's a shortcut here. You don't have to wait until all this is over. You might starve out here. You need this. You need this bread right now. So it's sort of like a shortcut to fulfilling his needs or his desires or his wants. And so we have that temptation too sometimes. That was like the very literal temptation of, you know, eating something you're not supposed to eat, or it's something physical. So, and by the way, it is harder to resist that sort of thing when you are hungry and tired. And if you think, boy, I really am being tempted to do something, ask yourself, well, am I tired? Do I need to take a nap? Do I need to eat a snack? What do I need to do here? Because sometimes that will help you. But anyway, Jesus didn't have that help either. He was tired and hungry. And so it was really hard for him. But really wasn't that hard for him, because he answers immediately. He knows exactly what God wants from him. All right, so then temptation number two. Yeah. Hmm. How is that temptation number two? All right, well, listen what happens. Then the devil took him to the holy city, that's Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Now, the temple was the tallest building in all of Jerusalem, and it was up on a hill anyway. So that was like the tallest place. If he was up there, if somebody was walking up on the top of the temple, everybody down there would be like, whoa, look at that, look at that. They would be, it would be amazing to them. And he said to him, here's what he says. If you're the Son of God, Mary, he's always trying to say if he's the Son of God, like he needs to prove this. All right, man, come on. If he needs to, like he needs to prove that he's the Son of God. Does Jesus need to prove that to the devil? No. God, the devil knows all about who he really is. But he's saying this. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down off of the temple from the top. That doesn't sound like a good thing. But because he says this, and then the devil knows some scripture too. Here's what the devil says. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. He says, if you're the Son of God, you have angels at your beck and call. If you fall off of here or jump off of here, angels are just going to show up immediately and catch you, and you'll be fine if you're the Son of God. Would that have happened, by the way? Could have, certainly could have. Jesus does have, he has power like that. This is sort of like a temptation to a shortcut to being famous. I don't know, that's kind of a temptation sometimes. Anybody like really think about wanting to be famous? That's kind of a temptation. But for Jesus, it'd be even more important because, his whole mission was to preach to people and tell people about the kingdom of God. Well, he'd be able to talk to a lot more people if he was really famous, wouldn't he? If he did this in the middle of Jerusalem on the temple, everybody would see him do it. Boy, it would be amazing. He'd be the most famous person ever right there. And so maybe he would, but this is not, Jesus says this. He said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. That means you're not supposed to test God. So you're not supposed to say, oh, Lord, please save me as I walk out onto this highway with these speeding cars on purpose to see if you'll save me. You're not supposed to do that. Now, God may save you. He may not save you. But you're not supposed to put God to the test. And that would have been wrong for Jesus to do that. He knew that. So he says, no, I'm not going to do that. So he avoids temptation number two. And so don't be tempted to just... You think that life's all about being famous or tempting God or something like that. Don't do that. All right, now, temptation number three.
Why can't it be cookies?
So we already got past the cookies one. Sorry, that was the stones. Temptation. Now, this is going to be the hardest temptation yet. Here it is. Here's what he says. And you, as soon as you hear this, you're going to be like, well, I know that's wrong. Here we go. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. It's sort of like he's playing a little movie for him up there. It's like, look at all these, look at all the kingdoms of the world. And by the way, the devil is kind of, you remember that song we sang, the power against the rulers and authorities and powers and spiritual forces. That's, the devil's controlling lots of stuff around here. This is kind of his domain. A lot of people think the devil's in hell or something. No, he's on the earth, and he's kind of running some things. And so, yeah, so he's offering Jesus all the nations of the earth. So that would really help, right? Jesus wants, he wants to be the king of the world, right? So this would be a pretty good shortcut, wouldn't it? This is a shortcut to having more power. Is this a good idea? Here's all he has to do. He said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. You think Jesus should fall down and worship the devil? Does that sound like a good plan? That does not sound like a good plan. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So the angels did come at the end, and they gave him some food and made sure he was doing okay. Yeah. Just a minute. We're almost done. All right. So why did Satan want to do this? Why did he come up with all these elaborate temptations for Jesus? Why do you think?
Because he's trying to get him to test God because there's some things he can't do.
Yeah, there's something about that. Satan hates God. Satan is in rebellion against God. He led a bunch of angels against God and tried to take over heaven one time, and that didn't work out. And so they got cast down onto the earth, and some of them got put away in some other place. And so he wants to do anything he can to derail this thing. He was there in the Garden of Eden trying to get Adam and Eve to do the wrong thing, and they did, and he messed all of that up. He wants to mess up every part of God's creation. And so if he can get Jesus to sin, well, that takes care of that, doesn't it? I mean, this is God's, you know, first, last, and best hope here to make this world good again. This is the only thing there is. There's no plan B, you see. This is it. This is the plan. So if the devil can get Jesus to take a shortcut, then it's over, and the devil wins. But he is defeated because Jesus knows all that, and he knows that he's not going to do that. He is going to take the hard road. Now, by the way, what about this? If he had taken the devil up on this, he could have been a king, maybe. He could have had some power. And he wouldn't have had to go die on the cross. That's where Jesus was really going. That's where his throne was going to be. It was going to be through a cross. But Jesus didn't really want to die on the cross, but he was willing to do it, and he knew he had to do it. And so he says no to these temptations. Jesus was tempted just like we are. So some people, you might be tempted to say, well, you know, God doesn't know what it's like to be a human. He's got all this power or whatever. But that's the thing about Jesus. Jesus does know what it's like to be a human. Right, because he was a human. And so everything bad that you can think of that could happen to you, Jesus knew what that felt like too. Jesus knew what it was like to be tired and hungry and stuck out in the middle of nowhere forever and bored. And he knew what it was like to be tempted to do something and thinking about maybe things could work out a little bit easier for me if I did this. He knows what that feels like. And so you think, well, nobody's ever had it as bad as me. Well, Jesus knows about that. And so you can't think God's up there in heaven and doesn't know anything to do with us. No. Jesus knows everything about us. He knows exactly what it's like. And yet, he didn't sin. And because he didn't sin, he was perfectly obedient to God. He could be a perfect sacrifice for us so that we could have his righteousness in our place for us. So that God would accept us, just like as one of his children. We could become the children of God because if we trust Jesus and become his followers. All right, so that is how Jesus' ministry began. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we've had together. Help us to understand about temptation. Thank you that Jesus knew all about temptation and what that was like. And we have a God that knows all about our struggles and yet was able to save us because he had perfect obedience. And pray that you'd help us to understand that. In Jesus' name, amen.